Blog Talk Radio.
I'm fading the song out now because we have three callers on the line, Don, John, and Albert. Thank you, Albert, for always being prompt. You guys are still on mute. I have to name some facts first, and then I'll pull you all in briefly. Which foreign companies are shutting shop in China? The United States Seagate, the world's biggest maker of hard disk drives, closed its factory in Suzhou near Shanghai last month with a loss of 2,000 jobs in a move that rekindled fears that China is becoming increasingly hostile toward foreign firms in the country. A passionate speech by Chinese President Xi Jinping at the World Economic Forum in January hoped to address the issue and reassure investors that China remained open to foreign investment. Seagate joined a spate of foreign companies to shutter operations in China in recent years for various reasons, but the most attributable facts are high tax regime, rising labor costs, and fierce competition among domestic companies. Panasonic stopped all its manufacturing of televisions in the country in 2015 after 37 years of operating in China. When it first opened in 79, the Japanese home electronics corporation, Sony, was the country's first foreign firm, tempted by generous benefits not offered to Chinese competitors, including lower taxes and land prices and easier access to local government. In November last year, the Japanese conglomerate Sony sold all its shares to Sony Electronics Hunan, a Guangzhou factory that made consumer electronics, and British High Street tailor Marks & Spencer announced it was closing all its Chinese stores amid Chinese losses. Some other countries were Metro, Home Depot, Best Buy, Revlon, L'Oreal, Microsoft, and Sharp, to name a few. The last quote is by Professor Chong Tae Wang. China doesn't need foreign companies so badly now in terms of acquiring advanced technology and capital as in previous years. So, of course, the government is likely to gradually phase out more of its preferential policies for foreign firms. Okay, now I'm going to jump to, I found, it's kind of, this guy was Shan Lee. He commented on a YouTube video under MSNBC. Chinese have put, okay, here, I'm going to read my version because this guy can't write proper English. Hold on a minute. Just give me 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The effects of the trade war would hurt American farmers trading with China with products like soybean. Minnesota farmers would lose $75 million a year in exports. That I heard on NPR. The rest is by Shan Lee. Made in China products have increased tariffs would hurt American companies more. Why? American companies own many of the Chinese factories. Chinese owns 30% control of their labor, but the companies themselves are 70% American-owned. American companies would have to seek low-cost labor elsewhere in the world, and it would be expensive, and they would have to relocate their manufacturing. 90% of American household supplies would see an increase in prices if the trade war launched. The idea that America could rebuild certain manufacturing plants would take years in our own country, yet the cost of increase of certain products is immediate on the American wallet. China could use the option to explore other foreign markets it hasn't utilized. There are already developing more efficient economies in Africa. Please remember we are also in debt to China, and Trump has forgot about that aspect of our obligation. With that, I'm pulling in Albert, John, and Don. You're all on the air. How are you all doing?
Doing fine. Thank you. Good evening, Jane. Good evening, everybody.
How about the rest of y'all? John, Albert.
The Chinese took them.
Yeah, I talked to Ben. Go ahead, folks.
Basically, what you have to do in a free enterprise system is have a little bit of regulation or direction, because all four or five of us are standing there wondering when to speak. We're not too sure because we're polite, so we're waiting. Without a green light or a red light, as compared to saying, you know, what do you think, Albert? Or let's start with whoever, because you're directing the show. You're kind of the MC. So we get confused.
Okay,
I usually do
an introduction,
yeah,
but feel free to speak. Everybody.
Again, that's a green light for everyone to start going, and we're at an intersection. If you, as the MC, kind of direct, just an example, greetings, Comrade Hoffmanowski. Welcome to Blob Talk Radio. And how are you doing, Albert, Comrade?
Comrade John Yoder from the German deep state, you can go first.
Excellent. Well, I think tonight is attention, all free thinkers. Your time has come. Prepare to scan or be scanned. scam or be scammed. Big Brother will cure the pain in your brain. I think kind of what we're running into.
I have a question. China the Big Brother?
No, actually, I think the whole world is leading to one world government. And I think, now, capitalism is great because it gives us a lot of freedom, free thinking, free competition. But I think capitalism, at any cost, devoid of moral spirituality, leads to competition at the highest level, which brings nihilism at any price. In other words, like, you know, I can do this in 10 seconds, and you say, I can do it in 5. And another person says, I can do it in 1, and I will do it till you can never compete. I will destroy you because I will win, win, win at any price. I think you need some kind of morality to say, wait a second, that's destroying the game. We've created a rat race. You know, it's like in our infancy, we fought with guns to get freedom. We worked hard to gain peace and prosperity and enjoyed abundance, a simple life. But as we grew more complex, we created a rat race, you know, of competition. And now we're controlled by government regulation, corporate rules. And it's the beginning of the end of the human spirit, i.e. AI, artificial intelligence, AC, Antichrist, the beast. And I think that's kind of the beginning of the end of free thinking. Any thoughts?
It's funny
that
you mention that because I read.
Where did John go? That was damn near right on.
Oh, bless you, my brother.
Where did they put John? Jane, did you lock him in the Alcatraz or something? And Neo John.
I wanted to say something funny. I loved what he said, but when I was looking for articles on Chinese trade, I found out that Walmart is using shelf-scanning robots to audit its stores.
Yes. So China is it really isn't the problem. You know, they've taken capitalistic ideas and they've merged it with their, you know, their government regime. The bigger problem is the end of the human spirit, you know, and they're being controlled. And we used to be a country of free thinkers, and now we're the, you know, the land of the regulated, which is okay. You need some regulation, but the problem with regulation, unless you have like a morality or spirituality to it, and that's what the forefathers are, you know, the first patriots, they had that God consciousness, and we've faced it out. We outruled it, and so now it's just man, and, you know, the spirit of man gets really dark and wicked. But I have hope. I believe in love. But what does our other co-hosts think? We haven't talked to them yet.
Albert and Don, we have limited time tonight, so go ahead and talk.
Well, this is kind of, you know, Don, he's a specialist because that 99 sis, they have all Chinese stuff that's not made in America, but for the most part,
if I could throw this in, you know, our prices are 99.99 because that way we could charge a dollar instead of, you know, 99 cents. Those pennies add up. If you turn 999 upside down, I didn't say that.
This is where Chinese aphrodisiac rhino horns and shit come in. Where,
they what?
You know, yeah, that's the only reason they're in Africa. They come under the guise of looking for diamonds and other minerals, but they're really looking for the last of the elephants so that they can get those doggone horns, tusks. That's all they care about. The Chinese, you know, they've learned very well how to, you know, they didn't learn. They're one of the first. They are in terms of some of the things that they do in commerce. But, you know, the first were really the Africans. So one day when we finally get this financial system back in place, Africa will again be number one.
Most of the corrupt elephant trade is done through Southeast Asia. Like Thailand and those kind of countries.
Right.
It's
and they're
not
losing
through
their
China.
No. Chinese are the ones who are precipitating this. This is where the tusks and the ivory and the rhino tusks go. They don't just sit there and rot in the doggone tropical sun in Thailand. They send those motherfuckers back over to China. What do you think? They grind them down for half the season. They grind them down for half. Well, that's the truth. But, you know, for the most part, the Chinese are, you know, we're all in an experiment. This is something that the
experts. I'm going to fact check you on that one. I'm going to fact check you on that one.
When haven't I been right? One time, I don't understand it. But anyway, what's happening with the economic situation, though, is you mentioned global. It is when the EU was established, then that was when I realized that globalization almost is inevitable in some form or another. You know, the capitalist concept is that if a person owns, what is it? 6% of the people own 90% of the wealth in one country, then those 6% in each country combine their source resources, and then they will be 6% owning 90% of the entire world. So that's the general formula that they've been looking at with Keynesian and some of the bankers' theorems. We're looking at, you know, a lot of the time they're looking at consolidation, but I don't think we can do that regionally, mainly because of topography. When you get over a mountain range or have to go over a waterway, you cannot take complete control over the other people's currency or way of life. To wit, England and America. There was no way that England was going to be able to keep America, you know, just because of the waterway. This is going to be, you know, this is something that we're going to be in for the next few years. Uncertainty. The LIBOR, which is where the banks get their money from, the LIBOR is stuck when everybody else is getting inflated.
I thought they were looking for vibranium in Wakanda, though. Isn't that what the Chinese are doing there?
They are.
Is vibranium a brain tissue? I have something to jump in with quick.
They're looking for penanium too. So they're
okay,
looking for
both. John, I gotta mute you a minute, John, so I can finish this. Just give me a second.
Sure.
I'm not going to mute you. As of December 31st, 2017, China's legal government-sanctioned ivory trade will come to a close. All of the country's licensed ivory carving factories and retails will be shuttered and shut down in accordance with the landmark 2015 announcement by Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. President Barack Obama. China and U.S. both agreed to a near-complete ivory ban, which prohibits the buying and selling of all but a limited number of antiques and a few other ivory. It's down. It doesn't exist anymore as of December 31st.
It'll still go on.
Right. How naive is that?
Except for they said that you can do limited trade with antiques.
And you believe everything they
say?
Well,
now, no, I don't, but they do have, there's a lot of places in Africa now that have these sanctuaries to raise elephants to keep them away from the poachers.
It's also against the law to breastfeed in public, but women still do it, so. Just because you outlaw it doesn't mean you can't do it.
Well, my boob increases the aesthetic of the environment by being exposed.
Well, there's a big movement for this all over the world. The women, black women of Birmingham, I actually fully support their right to bear their arms, actually, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
Their arms instead of their torso?
They got, it's called Chocolate Milk Mommies of Birmingham. I wish I was, well, I do wish I'm not making this up, and I do wish.
Is
actually.
This a real thing?
It's a, I'm looking at it on the website. It's almost like free porn. I mean, I want to move to Birmingham now.
Almost.
How did we go from how did we go from Chinese trade to elephant tusk to chocolate boobs to Birmingham in 15 minutes?
Because John is living in California where you can't do anything anymore. He's
he can smoke weed to a medical marijuana clinic.
You can smoke weed in the governor's office. This place, I swear, I went to, I was in Sacramento just yesterday, day before yesterday, but I was in Oakland.
We see Ben on the line, too, but go ahead, Don.
No, I was in Oakland about a month and a half ago, walking down the street. Every street that I walked down was that cloud. And I was like, whoa, these people have gone off the deep end.
Bus stop if I'm biking home, I go through certain areas and neighborhoods. You can tell which one's the pot districts. You brought it on yourself. This is what happened when you don't bring Ben and Albert in. It goes to chaos.
Albert's been on the line the whole time. He chose not to talk. And you guys are talking about Birmingham. I'm going to bring Ben in
conversation. But I'm really interested in this world economy issue that you have at the top. This is really important. We're going through, you saw today Munchen almost, he said that we are possibly at the start of a trade war. So if he says it, then you know something's wrong. Scott Pruitt has decreased the EPA by 40%. So that means that we have we have half the protections against all these corporations dumping everything in our waterways and in our airwaves. So we're at a crossroads now where we're going, our president doesn't believe in science. Anybody who's a freaking scientist they're not humans.
Let's start with the nuts and bolts, Don. Before, first of all, a lot of corporations are leaving China. So forget about the – China will do what they want with the environment, which means they have less restrictive laws. But let's pull Ben in because I know he has some – I know he's going to have a comment on what you said.
China right now is the fastest
Ben, you're on the air.
Solar and an electric car maker in the world.
Is who? China?
Right. China's flying in their attempt to get everything decarbonated.
Well, let me ask you one question before Ben comments. What do you think the major, let's just say the trade war goes into effect and we penalize China and then they in turn penalize us. Now, they sell $530 billion to us annually, and we sell $130 billion to them. What do you think the immediate effect will be?
It depends. You mentioned the soybeans. There will be oil that will be probably next, oil derivatives that will be up for expiration that they won't honor. And also they'll start going to Russia possibly for some of their oil that they have been getting from us. Trump is friends now with our, who is our, probably one of our biggest enemies, have been forever, Saudi Arabia. So Salamine, who, as I mentioned before, Las Vegas shooting was to cover up an attempted coup when he was here at one of his properties.
Wouldn't that have to do with the Chinese trade war, for Christ's sake?
Because it's all interwoven. We've got oil. Oil is our biggest trading.
Okay,
let
Ben go now, Don. You're hogging the show. Shan Lee said that if we get, China will receive less income from the U.S., but our cost of living will shoot through the roof, and the petroyuan, Y-U-A-N, will send the petrodollar home and create Zimbabwe-style inflation, and China will want its money back. In other words,
right.
China has some kind of oil leverage on us through petroyuan.
Right. But that is nothing compared to the ultimate. The ultimate is the fact that China has so much property that if the trade war, when it gets to oil, is not in their favor, then they can lay down their trump card, which is all the property. They can, you know, foreclose on it or whatever the case may be, if they want to. All right, bring him in.
Okay. First of all, here's my first comment on what you said. When you accuse people of not believing in science,
I'm not accusing people. I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Well, it doesn't matter. Whoever you say doesn't believe in science, you can find science. They can find science. They can both be the same science that disagree with each other. Now, if you want to talk about science being lobbied by politics, you can see examples on both the left and the right. It's agenda-driven science. With the whole CO2 thing, that's not conclusive. There's right and left science that argues with each other.
Correct.
So if you want to praise China for making electric vehicles, then you have to do a little bit of digging and figure out why do they get to have so many resources to be able to push whatever they want. Where is the lithium coming from? And is that less bloody than the oil that we burn?
That's a good. I mean, I don't know that answer, but the bottom line is that lithium is only a small part of the whole battery making process. Usually graphite and there's another doggone element that they use.
There's nickel.
Nickel's one of them too. But for the most part, those are the ones that they're going to be fighting over the mines for. What you said earlier, a couple weeks ago, was right about lithium. It's pretty much everywhere. You just have to collect enough of it. But the graphite, it has to be a relatively pure form. So that's a primary component of batteries. That's what the Chinese are going to have to look for their mines. They've got some significant graphite mines in China. And there's also some in Africa. That's why they wanted to go down to Africa to look at some of their mineral deposits.
Well, first, why I bring that up, why oil is superior to electric, in my opinion, is that the combustion engine, especially the older ones, they can't be stopped by a switch. They run. As long as they're in working order, they run. If they don't have a computer, then they're impervious to an EMP. It doesn't matter if an EMP goes off. But if you go 100% electric vehicles, there goes your freedom. If they suspect you of something, they turn off your car. There's nothing
right.
you can do about it.
Oh, I hate the
And that's the global agenda to control populations. There's a lot of countries who are way farther along than we are, but they have less freedom. So if we want to be just like them, we have to take the consequences with the green energy, where they can just turn you off. They can look at you going down the road on the highway and say, shut that guy down, and your car stops. So
they can do that.
I guess.
I mean, that's why I hate brains. I hate electronic brains, because they are susceptible to hacking and cyber attacks, and I can see, I've envisioned a whole bunch of cars on Highway 1 in a straight line going all the way down the cliffs. So I've already seen that dream in my head, and I know one day that's going to happen. It's going to be some messed up shit because you're going to have somebody take over the brains of some of these cars, and they're going to do whatever they want with them. So, I mean, when you talk about electric, that extrapolates past it, but it is in the same vein.
All right. It's about population control. It doesn't mean killing everybody, but it means the ability to control every citizen.
Well, my problem is that the carbons from oil are known carcinogens. The ground that they're extracted from become sinkholes or other kinds of either imploding situations, potential dangers, or they emanate methanes and other gas, greenhouse gases that can be problematic to the environment. So there are many, many reasons why I have disdain for gas besides the fact that they have monopolized it. The oil companies have monopolized it to the point where they are controlling the world economy. And that is not a morally correct. And that was one of the big things that I agree with John, is that all of this economy and laissez-faire economics, et cetera, has taken away from the moral compass of people in the world. And that's the danger of capitalism and everything else.
John, I rescheduled another show at 10 p.m., but you have to give Albert and John a chance to talk because these are short broadcasts. I made a mistake. I just want to correct my mistake before somebody else goes next. China, when I said the word petroyuan, yuan, Y-U-A-N, is the Chinese currency. It's also called renminbi. It's attempting to reshape the global oil market, the Shanghai International Energy Exchange, by buying barrels in their own currency instead of using the U.S. dollar as the main currency for future oil contracts. So it was trying to dominate the oil industry by launching a contract in its own domestic currency as a sign that China wants the yuan to pay for as a bigger role in the global oil trading.
And that's part
so
of
what
I've been mentioning for, that's what I've been mentioning for the last couple of years, the Glasov Directive. That's all a part of it, where China is going to be looking to make their currency, the yuan or renminbi, that you called it, the dominant currency.
Right. Go ahead.
They're getting together with other countries, too, to make an alliance of other countries who are going to back their currencies in minerals, too, like gold. They're going towards a gold-backed yuan with several other countries,
and that's with the BRICS.
They're
with the BRICS.
Right. It says that the Chinese yuan would have to become freely convertible. They'd need other countries to open up the settlement in the renminbi, which is another word for it. But the primary issue would be currency convertibility, and for now, the Chinese government is very reluctant to loosen currency controls and to give it up within the free trade.
Yeah, and everybody speaks
gold. Albert,
are
you going to comment tonight, or are you going to wait till the next show? Albert, you've been on the air the whole time. He must be helping his mother. Okay, go ahead, guys.
There is a solution. There is a solution. We could all go Amish or, you know, Aboriginal or African tribal. There's a lot of solutions, but do we want to...
There you go.
do we want to go that lifestyle, which we don't? We want our nice cell phones and plasma screens, or
no?
Actually,
I want to make love and have babies. I want to make some more babies, man. Come on, we don't need.
That's going to be against the law. No, they'll
not.
Just artificially create it in the test tube.
Yeah,
but,
that's what I'm.
So
that's what me. That's what
yes,
afraid of.
So that's kind of, you know, the problem is how do we get everyone to align with that? You know, now I will say we're looking at models of how the economy will go if we get into a trade war with China, but war is fluid, so it adjusts and changes shapes. Example, we have free thinking over here, so we'll come up with different creative ideas and strategies. The problem China has is they're encouraging their people to think, which then makes them question, which is not allowed. So they have that certain restriction. You know, as you open up the internet to get more information, people talk, and that, you know, and those free ideas start changing the demographics of their society. They have the society system coming in 2020 in China, which you get points for each if you're a good citizen, your education, where you live, so forth, entitles you to a better lifestyle. So it'll be challenging for them as they expand into freedom to get more constriction. But I think it's all – I read the end of the book in Revelation, and I think the beast is coming, and he's coming hard and fast.
I have a question for John. Despite religious prophecy, are you correlating China – with some type of dominating regime that's going to intersect the Christian values?
Actually, although they have had some role in that, both them and Russia over the years with their killing millions of people who resist free thought and will not read the red book or take their red pill, the actual revival of the Roman Empire, biblically speaking, which I guess would be Europe, I often wonder what America – I mean, we came from Europe, so are we the beast? We supply the pornography. We supply all the tech for the computers that unite and link the world. I can talk
well,
to someone –
Well, one of the Bible prophecies is that 10 crowns
the King,
of Europe, which is the European economic market, is the origin of the beast. So it would
right.
be the white man, as Don would correlate.
Who came to America and prospered. And but so the kings of the East will rise according to biblical prophecy, but they're not where the beast is coming from, you know, from a biblical sense. Now, I do
say, I think
so
the
this
beast
and,
is Russia because they're godless, even though communist is a good thing. They're a godless country that their territorial expansionists that don't give a shit about humans.
Yeah, but it's not that Euro population, you know, which again where the old Roman Empire. So I do say with biblical prophecy, there's always a twist. Christ came and tweaked the Pharisees who read, they memorized the first five books of the Bible verbatim. They knew everything, and they built this box. And I think people who read a lot of Bible prophecy, they build this exact box, and God will tweak with it, and you won't even see it coming. I mean, how many people don't know about 666 and the end of the world and the mark of the beast? I mean, so how do you pull that one off? You know, it's like a magician in front of everyone. Like, watch me pull
Believe
a rabbit out of
Believe it or not, a lot of people know, including atheists. But the main question is,
and
beyond
and yet we
religion,
still do.
Let's just say China prospers greatly another 10 years. We cannot determine whether their prosperity is under the domain of evil or good. I mean, that's not the ultimate question for the show tonight. Ben or Don,
right.
care to comment?
Well, we have a lot to do with the market. They have grown in success, like multiples of our success. Like, their
no,
rate of success is way higher, and if they keep
867%,
right, exactly. That I didn't know the exact number, but I know they've done a lot better, a lot faster than we are possible, and we control that market. Every time we go down and buy a Chinese tool or a piece of crap toy from Toys R Us, and Toys R Us is going down, by the way. But Walmart and all these other companies that just sell the cheapest crap you can buy, and we're so strapped with taxes and the amount of money we're left over, people are forced to buy the cheapest.
Yeah,
well,
not all the toys are crappy. Not all the toys are bad.
Give me a percentage of how many toys the United States makes and distributes to the world. Just give me a percentage of what the average consumer has a choice. If the average parent can go to any store,
probably about 15%.
I wouldn't even say that. I would say 99 point something comes from China.
Well, yeah, but we make real guns instead of toy guns.
Correct. But they make BB guns and air guns. And they look like
dare open up Pandora's box tonight, John.
I'm saying we make a lot more money with one of our weapons than they do with a bunch of their little toy plastic guns. But those little guns.
All you guys are talking.
All the gun companies are going bankrupt, except for Smith and Wesson has to check. Remington and a couple other ones are on bankruptcy.
Yeah, but not the military, not the big guns, like the super weapons, right?
That's because the military owns the gun factory.
Well, so does Remington, and Remington most of the weapons for World War One and Two.
I have a fun fact for you guys. Mattel Toys manufactures 74% of its products in China, and the remainder is scattered through Indonesia, Malaysia, Mexico, and Thailand.
That's one company, 79%. So if you look at
74%.
It's going to be really hard for you.
But we're talking about 100.
So Trump's trying to swing the pendulum back to having been made in America. Isn't
that
better than everything made in China? I mean, isn't that the direction we have to go to survive?
Nothing wrong with that. It's the cheap people. It's the middle class that caused this whole wave of importation anyway. We're not, we're supposed to be making things ourselves. We don't make a damn TV, radio. We don't make anything of the general nature of daily use.
Right. We subliminally chose it, but we didn't choose to send our factories over there. Corporate made those decisions, and we complied, and we found cheap prices, and we went, let's go buy this. We weren't the big thinker. Big Brother was, or big corporate was already pulling the strings.
But the thing is that it got to the point where the reason that this whole soybean thing, which is going to be the big tipping point, the reason is because we manufacture, or regrow, like 64% or something like that. It's a large amount, or 64% of one of our companies growth. We grow the soybeans here in Iowa, Illinois, and then we ship it to China so that we can have it packaged, and then they ship it back. That's the conundrum that we have here, and that we're going to have the possibility of having trip 2 and 3 tariffs, and they're essentially tariffs on us, and we're going to possibly lose a whole bunch of jobs.
Is that, though, is part of the problem, though, that China just bought up all our stuff, stole the technology, and then, profited without investing in the all the research and development? So if that's kind of cut off in a way, doesn't that help us? Because we're free thinkers.
Yeah, that puts us back in the cutting edge.
If we continue... Yeah. If we continue not or using only our products, we won't do that.
They import rice, too. They import a lot of rice from California.
We're going to get cut off in 1 minute. So call back at 10 o'clock.
All right, because, the soybeans are being used for pig feed and other cattle feed and things like that, too. So they're importing a lot of soybean, but a lot of it being sent back to us.